Hi, I'm Jenna.
And I'm Dawn.
And we are a fitness duo from East Kilbride. We are here to discuss all things fitness, lifestyle and business. Each session, we will discuss different topics with a little insight into our lives. My favourite saying, nothing changes if nothing changes. We are always looking for different ways to make each day fulfilling. We would love to bring you along for the ride. We are New Generation Fitness in East Kilbride, and we have decided to hop on and put a little podcast together, mainly for you guys out there that come along to us, and we're here to talk all things lifestyle, fitness, menopause, and just our daily do's, don'ts, habits and whatnot. Just to kind of engage with you a lot a bit more.
So I'll butt in at this point, and this was Jenna's whole idea. She told me to keep 12:30 on Thursday free, and I was busy thinking, yeah, beauty, we're going out for a nice lunch, and she has quite literally hit me with, we are doing a podcast.
And anyone that knows Dawn and I knows that that is absolutely something I would do, and it's absolutely something Dawn would be organised for about 2 weeks prior to.
Yeah.
So we like to keep it in style, don't we? First of all, I think we should maybe just say welcome along and thank you for tuning in if you do. Let's just do a little kind of background check on who we are, why we do it, and that type of thing. Shall we rock, paper, scissors? Who goes first?
And I hope you're first.
Here we go. One, two, three, shoot. Yes,
that's
me.
Oh, sugar.
You're one.
So for them that didn't know that, I did paper.
I was scissors.
And that's it. Okay. So I am Dawn, as you know. I have actually always been involved in fitness from probably a young age, from school, from taking part in sports. So that was maybe more athletics, but also always had a dance background as well. So from that, I also did a bit of running, which we can talk about later.
Yes.
And then carried on just going to classes, enjoying classes, and then decided I think I could actually do this myself. I think I could take a class and be an instructor. So it all started when 15 years ago, I think it was, isn't
crazy.
It? Crazy when you were the year before me, qualified to be Zumba instructors. Yeah. And at that point, Zumba was crazy, mental, right? People were, it was Zumba Wars.
It was
Wars,
a thing to
remember?
Do.
Yeah, yeah. It was Zumba Wars. And we are still continually teaching that 15 years down the line. So that's what it started with me as going on to be an instructor. From there, I think, Fit Steps. I also teach, so what do I also teach? Dance fitness classes. So that is your Fit Steps, which is everything strictly. For those who don't know, it's Ian Waite and Natalie Lowe are the people,
the creators,
of that dance group. So it's not, people kind of think Fit Steps, is it a step involved?
Yeah.
Is there a partner involved? No,
no,
it's not. You're dancing with yourself, pretending your imaginary partner. We usually pick somebody from Strictly and we dance along with them. So you can 1 minute be doing a waltz, then the next minute doing a jive, and the next minute doing a cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
Great
is that
fun.
Not quite good because you learn ballroom steps at the same time?
Yeah, it's not necessarily correct ballroom steps because it has a fitness element in it as well. But it is great fun. We only one class that I do, we do in lines so that we don't have any front row divas. So we all rotate the lines, which initially people were terrified about, but now it's just second nature.
Just fun.
Yeah. So that's Fit Steps. And then I teach Broadway Boogie, which is everything musical theatre, films. Again, 1 minute you could be dancing to Moulin Rouge. The next minute you could be dancing to Greece, and then we could Come From Away as one. And that's all very much so much fun. I love teaching that class. I'm not going to say it's jazz hands because it's not jazz hands. I had a new girl there on Tuesday night, and all of a sudden she was like, oh, how are we doing a squat and a lunge in the middle of a dance fitness? It's kind of hidden away there.
And you don't feel like you're doing squats and lunges.
No, you don't. you have fun, yeah. squat and lunges, and then clubbercise mm-hmm. as well, which we've just brought back to the studio yep. Because the darker nights mm-hmm. are in and we're just ready to party there. Yeah. So that's the dance fitness side mm-hmm. of it that I teach in all classes. Actually love, mm-hmm. I genuinely do love teaching it. Mm-hmm. And I think the clientele we've got all love it as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I'll go back to the start with me, I suppose. So started dancing, don't know what age I was, very young age, and loved it from the start. It definitely was just a hobby for me. Dance shows, dance competitions, and that all just kind of went hand in hand. So done that pretty much most of my life, which was great because that meant for me, after school, I was away to dancing and not doing the hanging about the streets as much. I did do it on occasion, but not anywhere near as much as I could have, but that was my big hobby.
But I think we were both told, my mum said mm-hmm, to me, if she ever caught me hanging about the streets, mm-hmm.
big trouble.
Was for it.
Yeah.
I was in big trouble.
Exactly. So that took me away. I just done that. When I was younger, I was like, tried trampoline and tried gymnastics, tried French lessons, pottery, literally everything. But swimming was the second thing that I'd done most of my days. But when it came to getting told to get up at 5 a.m. to go swim before school, I was like, nope, I will hang up my swimming costume. No thanks. So that's when I stopped swimming. But I did love that as well. That was kind of my sport. And throughout school, same as you, athletics team, netball team, every sort of sports team under the sun. Mm-hmm. I loved the PE department. That's where you would find me. So, from school, continued to dance, and then same as you, thought, let's try our hand at Zumba. It was one of those courses you could, if you love dance and you love music, you could just go and do the course yeah. type thing, and kicked off the Zumba career, and same as you, it just kind of snowballed, grew arms and legs, and genuinely think I've probably done every fitness course under the sun, from like an online PT course to Metafit, kettlebells, what. I mean, you went to Insanity, did we not?
Insanity, Kettler size.
Kettler size,
that as well.
Boxer size, everything possible. We brought it all together when you and I kind of merged and created our new generation studio as it is now. As Dawn said, 10 years ago.
We first met as well.
Oh, yeah.
Again, not going to go off track, but how we did actually, because people actually do say, how do you know each other?
I know, because it could come across as such a random relationship. But yeah,
we met each other through East Kilbride Light Opera. Mm-hmm. You came along at a young age of 16.
Mm-hmm. 16, that's when, yeah, crazy.
And that's how we actually met mm-hmm. and became friends.
20 years ago. That's
Gosh,
wild, isn't
that's
it?
That's mental, isn't it?
20 years
Holy
ago.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. So that was the formation of you and I. And along came the studio. And we obviously worked because I don't know if I preferred the kind of more strength and conditioning side, but I don't know why I ended up doing that. How did that split happen?
I don't remember. Really know.
It just did. I've no idea. But anyway, I still do love the dance fitness, but just the way we work, it just kind of I've lent more towards strength and conditioning type classes, and you've lent more towards dance fitness, but it works. So yeah, that's the kind of background on Dawn and I and how we
how
came
we
together, and how we are now. What shall we go on to our second wee topic? I've came off.
Now you've said, what is our relationship with exercise?
Yes, okay.
And I have always had
a fairly good relationship.
I have always had a fairly good relationship with exercise. Probably initially, as we said, sports clubs, mm-hmm. running clubs, mm-hmm. School, mm-hmm. all this sort of stuff. And actually, to be honest, one of the highlights of doing it at school was you got off like an afternoon off to
you
go to county sports and
you
stuff.
Could skip maths and go yeah, for a cross-country run.
And also, I'll never forget, actually, at the school awards, wasn't ever the cleverest, probably sat there in the average bit, but when you won the sports, you got a massive trophy. Mm-hmm. I thought that was so much better than a book token.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Back in the day. Yeah,
I'd take a trophy over that.
So I have always done it, and probably for enjoyment, mm-hmm. and also then carrying on as being an instructor, still as enjoyment. Mm-hmm. But actually in the last sort of year and a half, maybe 2 years, maybe more mentally as well. And I find there's sometimes you're a bit like, oh, I can't be bothered or whatever. But when you either go out a walk, come to a class, you do feel so much better for it. And I think I've taken that into account a lot more recently as well, how you do feel better for it. And the amount of people actually at the end of classes
that say it
as well.
Yeah, but we are obviously human as well. So as much as people coming along to classes or having to force themselves to go to the gym or whatever it is that they're doing, go out a run, at the end of it, you feel 100% better. And we're the same. We can get up and go, oh my, I cannot be bothered going today, or you've not got the energy, or just, I don't know, life is in the way. But you 100% think, why did I feel like that? Because now you've done a little workout and the endorphins are all floating about your body and you're just like, oh, I feel so much better for that.
Yeah, but we're probably just human as well. Because if you don't feel like that at one point, then you're lying.
Yeah, you're telling lies.
You're telling lies.
That was just me the other, what was it? I can't even remember what class it was. I just thought, oh, I could see it far enough. Tired, you know, just the usual life getting in the way. But after I was like, oh, and then you speak to everyone and then they're all happy and you do get a wee pure endorphin hit off of that, don't you?
Yeah.
So I'm similar. I've always been quite sporty, active. Don't get me wrong. There was days where I didn't do anything, but that's also fine. But definitely a good relationship with exercise, and exercise as a whole, as in walking the dog or walking to the shop or whatever it is, to swimming. No, I'm not a runner, as we know. I would sprint all day long, but I do not like doing long distance running. But I did at school athletics and all that. It was the 100 metres that was mine, and the long jump, believe it or not.
Oh, that's the same as me.
Considering how short.
Believe it or not, I didn't do long distance.
No, did you not at school?
No.
I did 100. I was like relay races or 100 metre sprint.
Check, I was the same.
Who knew?
Because you had to do a throw and a jump. So I would do the long jump and the shot putt.
Shot putt, well. Jamie always takes the mickey at me for my shoulders. from my swimming days. And he always says, I either look like my Trunchbull or a shot putter. So there we go.
But also, we both had children. Mine are a lot older than yours. And we exercise through pregnancies as well. You obviously watched what we're doing.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. But still, and I think that, well... pros and cons, I suppose.
Yeah.
Much more pros, obviously, because you felt better, one, you're more energised, two, you're looking after your body still, even though you are growing another human. That takes a lot of energy out of you, but it made good, like, pathway for post-baby.
As in recovery.
Recovery for me, well, after baby number one, definitely, recovery for me was so much better. It didn't help that we went into lockdown right enough, but I found the recovery easier because my body was healthier, definitely, than if I hadn't done anything. I mean, I was still teaching dance on the day I went into labour with Macaulay. I was rolling about the floor and everything.
Well, mind you, I'll come to Christmas night out as well.
Yes, that was that week.
Yeah.
Rolling about the floor, done a big high kick, went home that night and went into spontaneous labour. He was... what was it, almost 6 weeks or something like that early? So I don't know. I don't know why he came early. Was it rolling about the floor? Who knew? But what comes with that is good muscles. Good muscles to get a baby out. Slightly harder.
Yeah. I remember slightly getting told that as well.
To get that baby out.
Obviously, I've had one normal delivery and one section. And Ailey was 10 days late. Imagine, 10 days late. I actually thought I was going to get a lazy boy. And I get the exact opposite.
Crazy hyper girl.
The exact opposite. And I was in labour a long time with her. And actually they did say to me, it's because your stomach muscles. Yeah. That's what the problem was.
Were you still
was.
Running when you were pregnant?
I ran up to about 6 months.
Yeah, there you go.
I know.
I know a lot of people now though. That do the running whilst they're still pregnant. I mean, it's not harmful. Do the running. Not me. Wouldn't be me. Wouldn't catch me running.
No, but I had a really quick, not quick, but I had a good recovery. And then even with Emily as a section, that was a fairly good recovery as well. Touch wood.
Yeah. I know. I mean, you are literally helping yourself, not just throughout, but the recovery is massive, isn't it, for that? I felt totally the same. And even when I was pregnant with Lyle, I was still teaching clubber size and jumping about, and it was fine. And I mean, he's a bit crazy, but he's fine.
I know, but I do remember teaching it with you and kind of saying, calm yourself down.
You get a wee bit hyper, you know. Well, I didn't have teas or coffees. So my hit was clubber size. That was my hit. So yeah, we are both, generally speaking, relatively fit then throughout, from being wee right up to our, shall we call us middle-aged?
Middle-aged, we'll go with that.
Will we go with
that? You're quite happy to say you're middle-aged?
No, I'm slightly younger than you.
I'll go with middle-aged.
But yeah, I've got a lot to say for continuously working out, as in it's a habit, like a long habit, and it's not
lifestyle.
A quick fix. Lifestyle, it's not a quick fix. It's got a lot to say for when we're getting older. At least that we still think we're 21, but when you compare, actually we had a chat, we'll touch on your running later, but you'd mentioned your half marathon and your times, and you said, oh, I used to do it in X amount of time. You're like, oh, but actually that was 10 years ago. And you
think it wasn't even 10 years ago to think, well, I'm 51. I never ran it at 40. I don't even think I ran it at 30. So we are talking like 20 years ago.
Yeah. And you were comparing your half marathon now to back then. So, yeah. But you're still running a half marathon at 51.
I know.
Well, you're going to be doing a full marathon shortly.
Do a full marathon
and you'll be
shortly.
Nearly 52.
Oh,
we are just going to touch on, since we've chatted about our relationship with exercise, what comes hand in hand with that is food and our relationship, our opinions and thoughts, and how we think about food. What is our thoughts around even the word diet?
I am going to say I feel I have quite a good relationship with food. My oldest daughter calls me Mrs. Dollop, and that is because with my fitness pal, I probably don't include any of my dollops. And to be honest, I don't really do my fitness pal now at all. I don't do it on a regular basis. I would only do it if I was wanting to lose some weight or be accountable for myself. So again, I probably do need to eat more protein. And I probably eat the same things, and I need to sort of change that up again. But I wouldn't say it's anything too bad.
No.
I don't think it is anyway.
No. I wouldn't say it is.
No, I don't think it is.
And even when you were a kid, what was your kind of like, what was your kind of family chat around food, meals, dinners? What was that like for you?
Well, you know, the first thing, we always had to sit down at a table and the like chat. It was like family time.
I agree with that.
No phones, no nothing.
I like that.
Was there phones?
Well, not back then.
No, back in the day. But it is quite funny because my mum would have like, and I have never ate this for a long time, pie. Beans and chips.
Pie, beans and chips, yeah.
Could you ever eat that?
No, no, not now, no.
I wouldn't eat that.
Wouldn't
so those dinners are probably slightly different.
Yeah.
But smaller portions. We were talking about that. You know how
we were.
Here's us, I've got a good relationship with food, and we've been at several coffee mornings recently. But we had been at one recently, and it was for Macmillan, and it was beautiful, and it was all done in a nice tea set, and everything was smaller, wasn't it?
The teacup was smaller,
the plates were smaller, everything was smaller. And I think that's the problem. Portion size, is outrageous.
Out of control now.
It's out of control. So that's maybe.
Yeah, I definitely think the same. When I was younger, it was similar, like home cooked meals. You know what you would say was like your gran and grandpa's type
home cooked.
And that is definitely what we got more than, if I think, what I give the kids now. We were more those traditional mince and potatoes. On a Sunday, you got your Sunday dinner. We still did have like pizza and chips or smiley faces or alphabets and all that thing, fish fingers. We did have all that. I do remember that. But
I don't think it was a big thing at that time.
No. And portions were absolutely much smaller. And it was all in moderation as well. Like, I really, really don't remember taking a packed lunch or whatever to school and having, like, lots of chocolate and stuff in it. I don't ever remember that. And if it was, it would be a small bit of chocolate and that would be you. Whereas nowadays, I do think, well, there snacks in general are much more readily available, but so much easier for people to just grab a bar of chocolate or a cake or whatever. And that's the difference.
Well, there's an example. We went into Marks and Spencer's there.
The meal deal.
And to get a meal deal and there was no fruit.
No. No fruit to choose from. No. It's not like it was sold out. It just it wasn't a thing. There. So there was, what was there? Chocolate brownies, flapjacks or crisps?
Crisps.
I mean, I really thought we were at the day and age where that was a bit more to choose, like a bit more choice in that. But yeah, that's true actually. But yeah, I had a fine relationship with food growing up. I wouldn't say I was, because I was always active as well, but I did eat to fuel your body, because then you were going out to dance or whatever it was I was going to do, and ate when I was hungry. It's not like eating all the time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And sitting down for a movie and having snacks and like all this. That wasn't really a thing. And if anything, I don't really remember, but I'm going to assume that this happened. You would get treats or whatever at the weekend of a Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is, but it wasn't as, I just don't remember having loads of sweets and chocolate in the house growing up.
Our treats were? Our treats were half a Mars bar.
Half a Mars bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Even fizzy juice, I was not a fizzy juice drinker.
No.
My brother was, so he did, like it was available. I don't think my mum gave him it, like willy-nilly, but it was available, but I definitely was never a fizzy juice person, so we didn't have loads of it in the house either. Diluting juice, water is what I remember. Getting to a teenager when hormones start coming into play, slightly different. And I do remember having a not as good a relationship with food and being fearful of putting on weight and all that kind of thing, and how you were feeling at that time. So I do remember not liking food for a while, and like food was the enemy and you had to eat little. And then you were felt so tired and no energy, and that was so bad for you when you think about that vicious circle. And then you got to the age of 18 and then you were out drinking and you didn't eat before you drank. Yep. And there was just that was not a good...
Have your pizza on the way home.
That's exactly it. Victor's. Mm-hmm. Victor's fish and chips or pizza and chips after the dancing. I mean, how bad is that? Yep. But now I definitely have a colourful plate. And I'm trying to pass that on to the kids. Macaulay's quite good at eating colours. He likes all that. Lyle, he's a good eater, but he doesn't like the fruit and veg side of it. Mm-hmm. And obviously everything's much more expensive now as well. It's more expensive to buy fruit and veg than it is to buy rubbish. So I think that's part of the problem nowadays, as well as the how available things are. But as a whole, definitely good relationship.
Yeah, I would
with
agree.
Food and exercise growing up. Mm-hmm. So our next little topic, Donnie, question to you. Good daily habits that you like to do every single day that make you feel better, and why?
Good daily habits. Well, we have dogs, so your habit is walking them. So
yes.
That's always a sort of good daily habit. That's obviously an active one. That's a tricky one. I'm trying to think. What is a good daily habit?
Is there anything that you get up and do in the morning first thing? Like glass of water or greens or...
Oh yeah, well actually, and I do remember now because it's now sitting above my air fryer, so don't forget, I have my reel.
Yes, you've been back on that.
Yeah, I'm back on my reel, which is full of all the super, well it's a nutritional one, but I also do take, years ago we did Forever Living, didn't we?
Oh,
I mean years and years ago.
Yep.
And I still take all those tablets.
You swear by it.
And I do swear by it actually.
This we will also discuss when we tap into some menopause chat, maybe not on this episode, but throughout. That is something that you definitely swear by.
Yeah.
So what were they called?
So the first one I take is bee pollen, and why I started taking that was I started taking hay fever. And what I will say with Forever Living is that it's not a quick fix. It has to get into your body. It got to get into your system. So that was the reason why I would take bee pollen and also energy. and I take the immune gummies, vitamin C. So I take that. And then I take Vitalis, and apologies if I've said this wrong, but that was more for women's hormones because you can get
a newer one?
No,
new
again,
thing? No, you've been doing
this for a while. Oh no, ages. I actually started taking it when I was getting a bit crazy PMT and I thought, why is this happening?
Yeah.
So I should really look back and see how long I've been taking them. So I have, I used to take just two tablets a day and felt fine. Then I was kind of getting that wee bit of a...
creeping in a bit.
Yep. And I take two in the morning, two at night. And honestly, again, I swear by these tablets. They are so good. Actually, I'm terrified not to take them.
I know.
In case I go crazy mental. And just in the last month, I've started a vitamin D one as well. So I've taken that in.
Yeah, that's one of our issues with living in sunny Scotland.
Yeah.
We do not get the sun. And there's quite a lot of studies actually that linked with vitamin D and how our bodies function.
Yeah. We'll see in the next month if you notice a difference in my vitamin
it's your
D tablet.
Vitamin D, I need to tell you up it.
Yeah. So if MD does want to speak to me about that, because I do still, I really forever living, bit more expensive, but you get what you pay for.
Oh, absolutely. And worth it in your eyes, definitely.
What about yourself?
Myself, daily habits. I definitely get up in the morning and have water straight away.
Cold or warm?
No, cold water, cold glass of water. First thing I do, well, is it the first thing I do? Probably not. I deal with the kids first because they are the ones that wake you up. But then it goes on to me, and definitely a glass of water. I'm not really big on like on getting breakfast in me straight away. Quite bad for eating breakfast, actually. And I know that's wrong. And anyone who I've ever worked with, whether it's been PT clients or just gym people, I just like, make sure you eat your breakfast. And I don't actually listen to my own advice.
When do you have your breakfast?
Sometimes I'll just grab a bit of toast after I've done the school run.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have my breakfast.
Yeah, you're good at having breakfast.
Yeah, I do have my breakfast.
Even when we've been away at the caravan or on holidays, whatever, I'm always like, oh, there she goes for
my Weetabix.
A Weetabix and your fruit and your
honey.
Grains and all that. And I'm like, I'm bad for that. And I don't know if it's just for quickness or, I don't know, I'm just never one for breakfast. I would never choose... If someone was to say to me breakfast, lunch or dinner, breakfast would be my absolute last choice.
I know, you actually do say that. You don't care for going out for breakfast.
I don't care for breakfast products. It's my least favourite meal of the day.
But the most important.
Well, I know, and I would tell people that, but here we are. I went on the Gut Health Reel for a while. Actually, I need to start it up again. I've got no excuse. I just haven't done it. It's sitting in my cupboard. I've just not done it. So I'm going to start that up, especially now that the winter months are coming in. And this is when people start getting unwell, isn't it? Colds are everywhere. So I'll do that and I'll up my vitamins. I'm the same as you. It's a vitamin gummy. It's not the same one as you. However, I am getting on in life and probably should be starting these bee pollen since that's all you do is talk about them. I should get on them now to kind of curb all these symptoms that I'll soon be getting coming my way. So really just for me, glass of water is my go-to and a cup of tea.
Yeah, you've got a cup of tea in the morning, first thing.
And I am a coffee fiend. However, I know it's not good for you in so many ways, but here we are. When you've got two young kids, you kind of need it.
How many coffees do you have?
A day?
Mm-hmm.
See, to be honest, sometimes it is only one. It's not crazy, yeah.
No way.
I know, because I don't really like making Kunso coffee. I don't, not that I don't like making it. I don't really like Kunso coffee.
I'm sure the people in Starbucks or any other coffee shops will not agree with that.
No, but that's why I go there and I spend my money there. And I just had a discussion today with someone in a shop I was in about the price of a Starbucks coffee. But here we are. I might get one today. Actually, you shouldn't drink coffee after 12. I would tell people that. It's 1 o'clock. Probably going to have a coffee.
It does affect you. I don't think it affects me.
So just a wee bit of background, we got a coffee machine in the studio a long time ago. And I would have a coffee before Clubber Size. And wow, it was the Duracell Bunny times 1 million, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that was before I was a coffee drinker. And I just had a coffee because of the novelty of it. I didn't drink coffee. And now I've got kids, I absolutely drink coffee. But not loads. I would buy one a day. I like to buy a coffee.
And make a coffee.
Yeah, you make them. You're quite good at making them. I mean, I've got a coffee machine.
I've got a coffee machine
as
well.
I prefer to not make it.
I probably have one. I definitely have one from a coffee machine every day. And then, do you know what? I might actually have maybe more tea.
Yeah, I would have a tea at night.
I'd have a tea at night as well.
You've got the problem with being up in the night weeing, because we're of that age. Anyways, that's kind of my daily
ritual,
what I go to on my daily. We can definitely chat about more of that in future episodes and kind of do's and don'ts. And just since we are starting out, I would like to just quickly touch on, just because it's kind of new to us as well in terms of bringing it to the studio, is the big scary word menopause. So we have recently started a menopause class in the studio, haven't we?
We have, yeah. 4 weeks down, I think we are, isn't it?
Because we felt that you and I are at different stages of that as well. But there were so many things out there that was given mixed information. And it was really hard to... It was also something that just wasn't talked about.
No.
And we had noticed from having the studio for 10 years, people dropping off and the reasons why. And yeah, we felt like this needed to be addressed, didn't we? So we decided to do a little menopause class in the gym to get people moving,
bringing
lifting
it back to basics.
Bring it back to basics. Mm-hmm. And lifting weights, because there is so many studies to suggest that menopausal women, whether it's peri, right in the mix of it, or post, the best thing you can do for your body, your mind, is lift. So yeah, what is your kind of what's your kind of thoughts when someone says the word menopause?
See, to be honest, it doesn't really scare me that much, to be honest. I am menopausal, and I think it's something new. Everybody has it, takes it differently. Mm-hmm. And that's probably when I touched on it earlier on, saying in the last 2 years of making sure you're walking and all that for your mental health. I obviously am active, but, you know, it still hits you as well. The tiredness, all these symptoms. I think I am probably fairly lucky, touch wood, because I do actually feel okay.
Probably. But is that luck, or is that because you've been active?
Well, see, about 2 years ago.
You take your pills.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I had noticed I had put on weight, and I was kind of like, oh, how's that happened? And then I had noticed that my period was irregular as well, and I thought, how's that happened? But to be honest, I had been taking a track of when it was coming. But still never really put two and two together and thought, this is menopause.
Yeah, because it's not spoken about, I think. That's why. You just think, what's going on?
Why is this happening? And then I did the 16-week thing with Ailey. And that's when I really started lifting weights and noticed the difference. Because I was always a cardio person, work, train,
as
train,
in
train.
Noticed the difference in your body or strength or mental health?
Probably everything.
Right.
It's just a different form of workout. But then I would probably never go to a gym to do it because I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. Didn't fancy it. Scary. Yeah. It's a bit off-putting.
Everything that comes with the idea of a gym.
Yeah. So, but I feel once you know what you're doing, make time for it, you do feel so much better.
And that's got a lot to answer for, I think. I know you said luck, but I don't think it is luck. I definitely think there's an element of luck, and it's your body type and how your body reacts to it. But I definitely think being proactive is, you're going to do much better throughout it than somebody that's not. If you were to do a case study of everything you've done against somebody who's not done any of it, I think it would be very different results.
My worst symptom, as you know, is my hot flushes. And I carry a fan about in every bag.
Designer fan.
I don't have one with me just now. But I don't want to say this. I have not had one.
I know, by the way, I've noticed that.
Have you noticed that? I have not had one in about a week.
When we were last out, you did have your fan. And it was me that needed it. You didn't even need it.
Passed it on to you.
And I'm a bit like in denial about this. I'm like, no, this isn't, it's not a thing.
But what I have said is, and what we have done is, I've cut down in alcohol.
And you think that's helped?
Or see, if you have been drinking Prosecco or whatever form of alcohol, only that's because that's what I drink. See, the next day, boy, you're going to get hot flush galore. Oh, crazy.
That's wild, isn't it? But then it's the same as if you've got a cold, you're not meant to feed it with alcohol, because that literally is going to make it so much worse. Your body's got all these antibodies trying to fight it, and then you're just swigging back the beers. It's not going to be any good, is it?
So you definitely, for me, you have to be aware of your body and all the things we've just spoke about there, from your exercise to your food. Sleep
is a big thing
as well. And obviously I've been taking a lot of tablets, vitamins, and hopefully, you know,
you're just kind of going to
push through it.
Push through it. And not let it take over, because that is not on.
Yeah.
Obviously I am not menopausal. Although Dawn says I've got symptoms. But for me, exercise and movement, although the word exercise and the word movement are two very different things. Movement, obviously you move every day in life, but exercise is obviously a conscious effort to use your body in a way that it will burn calories. I think that is vital. And for your mental health, so that the word menopause doesn't take over your mental health. And then you all of a sudden think, I can't go to a gym. I can't lift weights.
Yep.
I can't go a walk. I can't do this. I've got the hot flushes. I've got all the other symptoms that comes with it. So all of a sudden, you just go into yourself.
Yep. It's your mind is a big thing.
And we've noticed that, haven't we? With a few people that we have been missing from the studio. And we're kind of thinking it could potentially be related to that, because it plays funny games with your brain, doesn't it?
100%. Yeah.
And there's so many pieces of evidence out there that say that weightlifting, weight training, and getting your steps in is huge for menopausal symptoms. But I think we'll go into more depth and all things menopause as we progress through. But I just kind of wanted to touch on the word menopause and what it meant to you. And, well, as I said, I'm not quite there yet. I don't think it's scary to me yet, because I think, well, it happens to everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah,
we don't have a choice.
It's how we deal with it.
Yeah, and what age are you going to go through it? Who knows? But there's definitely, I mean, there's studies that say it can start as early as 36.
Yeah.
I'm 36.
Here we go.
Here we go. Get those bee pollens handed over. But things like forgetfulness and...
Oh, yeah.
The sleep, for me, I've noticed a difference in that. I'm waking up in the night quite a lot.
Are you?
And not because of Lyle, because Lyle is asleep. So he's not the reason
why. He's not the blame this time.
No. But see, when you're up, it's in a hot sweat or like needing a wee or that. And I'm like, what's this? What's happening here?
You get a fan at the side of your bed?
No, I'm going to need to get one. Yeah. Maybe not now, the winter's coming in right enough, but... I'm wondering, is this the start of like the decline in the hormones? So it's like estrogen. Is it your estrogen starts dropping off? But then prior to me having babies, I had very low estrogen levels. So maybe I already had menopausal symptoms and I didn't even know. But then I got injected with hundreds of estrogen and then I went the opposite. I went crazy. So I think they've settled again. I think
maybe
we're okay.
You've had a menopause already.
Maybe I have. Maybe I've come through the other side. Maybe not with the hot flushes. I definitely get that and I'm stealing your fan, which that's a bit crazy at my young age. But I know people who have. I know people who have started the menopause at this age. That's a scary thought. But it's only because we don't know enough about it.
No.
And it needs to be discussed.
And it shouldn't be scary. It genuinely should not be scary.
No, and it shouldn't be a topic that people are like, don't want to talk about. Which is why we are talking about it.
That's why we are.
And as I said, we've done this little class in the studio and the progression, I noticed on Tuesday, I wonder if you'll see tonight, but the progression has been amazing. They are doing so much more when they first came in.
Brilliant.
And I feel like when they first came in, they didn't even want to make eye contact with us. And now we're chatting away about all things. We're chatting openly about symptoms and how people are feeling, which I think is huge. And the fact that they are lifting heavier, doing more, completing more rounds in such a short space of time.
I was just about to say, in 4 weeks' time.
I think
brilliant.
A lot of it is they were scared of the gym and didn't know what it entailed, but we've made it. It's such a small setting and it's a nice wee private gym. It's not like you're going into a big gym with all this equipment that you don't know what you're doing.
And it's also girls of similar ages and a lot of it's similar abilities as well,
which is great.
And it's just 45 minutes, and
makes such a difference.
6 weeks, isn't it? That's what we're aiming for, 6 weeks, and then we'll take it from there and see what happens.
We're pushing the encouragement to get your steps in, especially whilst it's relatively nice outside. But the difference in them is great. I think so. It just shows you little bit of exercise, what it does for you. And yeah.
Is that us?
Yeah, I think we have covered.
Do you not get any other questions that you want to just fire in there or anything?
No, no, I don't think I do. I'll keep some for when we progress forward. But yeah, this was just our little introductory, is that how you say it? To our first little come and chat with us.
Can I just say you've got a bit more camera? You're sitting there quite relaxed now.
It's very comfy chair, to be fair.
Headphones on. Swinging.
Looking the part. So yeah, join us next time, guys, and we could maybe do a little poll on our
what
socials.
We want to talk about.
Let's get some topics and get discussing. But definitely each week we are going to cover something to do with the menopause, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So we could pick a topic each week and discuss, whether it be recommendations, do's and don'ts, facts and myths, because this recently in the news, mm-hmm. we were talking about it, weren't we? That that person that was really big, no, mm-hmm. but really big on menopause, and actually she's been kind of shot down a bit, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And that's worrying.
Also, something we could do is say, what class do you want us to talk about?
Yeah,
if there's a class
that.
In the studio, just one class.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Tell us.
What's it all about?
What's it all about?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, gosh. I was going to say over and out.
Over and out? Did you just say that?
No, I was actually going to say, what's it all about? And there's a few people, when I used to work in the school office, this voice would go, Alfie!
I have no idea who that is. Oh well, on that note. Over and out.
Bye.
Oh, God.